from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the take business. Not everybody's going to love your takes. I was afraid Brady was going to be too vanilla, too afraid to say anything. So I'll at least give him that. But I don't love the take there, and I don't think it's anywhere near accurate. It was Brady's intro to the NFL and Brady's experience. I don't think that's at all how it goes. In fact, his contemporary, his nemesis, Peyton Manning, came in, played right away in 1998, 3 years before Brady was a starter, 2 years before Brady entered the league, and he was just fine.
Maybe Brady thinks Peyton would have been better if he sat a little bit.
Maybe that's his take. Peyton Manning
that
needed to sit.
That would have been if he came out with that, that's a scorcher.
No, that makes
headlines.
That's my kind of take. That would have been incredible. Then I'd say,
Brady,
wow.
Brady, use that in the booth.
Yeah, exactly.
You got this kid out here. You know what Peyton Manning could have been if you didn't force him out there in that first season.
I love that, too. That's how people are about Mahomes. They're like, well, see, he threw 50 touchdowns in year two. It's like, yeah, no, I think he probably was ready. He was probably overly ready. He's probably overly ripe when he comes out and throws 50 touchdowns and goes to the AFC title game in year one. He's probably ready year one as a starter. After sitting for a year, he was probably ready in year one. But okay, sure, that's why he threw 50 touchdowns in year two. I want to put the Brady thing to the side for a moment. We have what I would consider very minor news, but I want to touch on it. Because Elliott Wolf has made such a big stink about the third waiver claim.
This really bummed me out yesterday when we were talking about this.
You know he's not the first one to do that,
though. I know.
Was it Kraft earlier this offseason who was like, we have other means of acquiring talent? Mm-hmm. And he referenced the waiver claim. And it's just a weird thing they keep bringing up. Like the first pick of everybody else's garbage. You know? Like the guy, what are rosters now in the NFL?
53.
Is it still 53?
Yeah.
I thought it went up. Did it go up on game day? Maybe that's what it was. And then you have an expanded practice squad. So whatever. You got to trim down. Okay. So you get your pick of the garbage at the end of the preseason. And they've been like doing cartwheels over this. It's weird. Kraft has talked it up. Mayo may have brought it up. And Elliott Wolf definitely just talked about it. And it's weird. I think we know who their waiver claim is, right? This is the guy. They used their waiver claim on this guy. Matt Landers. 6'4", 200 pounds. The Browns cut him.
Son of Ann Landers.
Stupid, sexy Landers.
He went to Arkansas. He started at Georgia and Toledo. Brady must love this guy. This guy spent 8 years in college, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then also played in the UFL. So this was their big... Like, all the talking up about the waiver claim, this is the guy, Matt Landers. He better be good, is all I would say to Elliott Wolf. For all you've been going on and on and on about this, he better be good. Or else, you were just talking about the waiver claim, and it was meaningless, and you were just trying to latch onto something, which is probably the real answer.
To me, the biggest story here is what's going to happen to David Wallace, my preseason king.
I figured that would be where
you brought
would take
this up, and like my guy, I already don't know if he's going to be on the P squad, and now you've got a piece of, I guess, dumpster diving souvenir in Landers, and maybe he takes that spot. So that's my real concern, because guess what? This doesn't matter. I can't see this guy making any difference in your
team. Okay.
No, and it's also not like you're talking about some veteran who was a cap casualty or something like that. Like, this guy was a UFL guy who ended up getting signed for nothing, and then it was on the practice squad and got cut. Like, this, you know, like, it wasn't like some guy who would probably land on a roster and, oh, you're so lucky to get him because you have the third waiver claim. This is a guy who probably would have just not been in the league.
The third waiver claim. This is what we're reduced to. They're trading arguably their best player for a third-round pick, and people are excited. People are, like, really excited about a stupid third-round pick. And now they have the third waiver claim, and they're, like, trumpeting it up. And some guy I never heard of, Matt Landers, not good enough for the Browns.
He was with the San Antonio Brahmas this year.
Oh, that Matt Landers.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, from the Brahmas?
UFL, what? Hello.
I see, there we go.
What is a Brahma?
That's, I know what the Boston Brahmin were.
A Brahma is a bull.
Oh.
And the team, I believe, is owned by The Rock. I think he owns the team.
Okay, I'm into this.
I wonder how he came up with that name.
I know.
So now we're coming around on it. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But there you go. They've been trumpeting up this, they've been trumpeting up this stupid waiver claim.
The Rock was like, sorry, you're not Brahma's material.
You have to go play for the Patriots.
John in the car in the Twitch chat says the Patriots would spin Alston Christmas into expensive shopping. And so that is what this is. Alston Christmas.
You just better hope this Landers doesn't bring bed bugs in.
Alston Christmas coming up, guys.
This is Alston NFL's Alston Christmas, and your GM has been like celebrating it, and now they went out and splurged on Matt Landers.
Check it out, guys! New mattress. Found it on the side of the road.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't use splurge and new mattress too close to one another.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
I didn't like the phrasing of that, Joe.
617-779.
You splurged on Matt Landers.
7937. What do we think of Tom Brady? His commentary on young QBs, Arkan?
I think it's, well, I didn't love it, period, just because it's some angry old sort of get off my lawn stuff about how the game was so much better back in my day, but I don't really buy that. I think that, you know, there's, in some cases, maybe they dumb down the offense for certain players, but you also just had last year CJ Stroud pick up an offense very, very quickly after 1 year at Ohio State, which is a very pro-ready program, and he goes to Houston and he's good right away, and it's just like, you know, there's not a ton of examples of that, of a team turning it around that dramatically. Other than him, it's like Baker Mayfield going with the Browns going from 0 wins to 7. But still, I mean, there's plenty of quarterbacks over the years who maybe needed a year and then ended up getting it and then were good right away or picked it up over time, like Josh Allen, if he didn't have a great start to his career. There's a lot of examples of that. And they learned on the job and they learned while they were playing, and it didn't really matter if it was a program or a playbook. They were ready for the league and they could do it or they couldn't. So I think that, you know, he's trying to set up kind of this reality for himself where everything he did was exactly right and everybody else is completely wrong and no one else is doing it the right way anymore, whatever. I think that in general, though, the quarterbacks of all, there was bust back in his day, guys who didn't play right away, guys who did, and it's just something that happens in every generation, every decade of football. It's nothing special with the 2020s or even the 2010s. This has been going on forever.
So, I don't know. I'm sure there's some truth to what he's saying at the college level. He says now guys, they learn playbooks. They're not in programs. It sounds like he's saying they're not developing the quarterbacks as deeply and extensively at the college level as they did when Brady was at Michigan, and then getting them even further developed in their early years in the league. I don't know if that's accurate for every single situation. I can't imagine that it's accurate for every single quarterback. But my takeaway is I think that Brady is actually being quite defensive of quarterbacks. He's saying it's a tragedy, his words, not mine, that quarterbacks are being thrown in so early in this league. And I do think it's his way of saying they're mismanaging quarterbacks. They're not preparing quarterbacks the same way. They're not giving these guys the chance to be successful the way that I was given the chance to be successful. And in a way, I guess it's like he's trying to be very player friendly is how I hear it.
It's just a tragedy.
Yeah, is how I hear it. So that's just a glimpse into who I think that Brady's going to be when he's in the booth and ultimately doing this.
Yeah.
That it's quarterback friendly, and it's not necessarily all the quarterback's fault. It's that the situations you're forcing these young quarterbacks into are not in their best interest.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about how he was seventh quarterback at Michigan and how he didn't play. He was fourth on the depth chart as a rookie. Like, I can't wait to hear that every single week in the Fox booth. This is.
He should do like a documentary about his career or about his life, you know, where he describes all these things
maybe
in detail.
Maybe a couple just to make sure it sticks.
Well, one. I mean, we could do at least one, and then you go from there. If you think it's popular, you keep doing them. Yeah.
By the way, Moose Soup and Everything in the Twitch chat says that Brady's not saying it was better. He's saying it was just more complex when these quarterbacks entered the league versus now. I reject that. I think it was way easier to break in, maybe not from a physical standpoint, but from an X's and O's scheme point. Hasselbeck was talking about this earlier today, and I agree with him. It's way more difficult. As a passing concepts are way more advanced now than they were when Brady broke into the league. Way more advanced. And so I reject that. If that's Brady's take, I think he's wrong. And so he sounds like a crotchety old man. Meanwhile, speaking of crotchety old men, let me hear Bill Belichick. Also, I think, out of touch. Here he is. Talking about salary cap gymnastics on the Pat McAfee Show.
We did it a couple of times, Pat, but I wouldn't say that was very frequent. And really, we tried to, we didn't have voidables except for the last year with Brady. We didn't have fake years in the contract where, you know, the defensive ends are making $60 million and you have to cut them and things like that. And so we just didn't do that. And I think that was really how we were able to sustain our success for so long. Was that the cap was managed. We were always at the cap and we pushed it, but then there were a lot of players that, you know, didn't finish their careers with us for one reason or another. You know, when the salary cap became an issue, we had to make some tough decisions. And unfortunately, I would say release some players that, you know, or trade players that I really didn't want to do that with. They were good players. We just couldn't afford them all.
Okay. So I love that Bill, and he would go on to cite the Kansas City Chiefs as another team that does a good job with the salary cap.
Nothing else those two dynasties have in common.
I love that Bill is sitting here justifying the way he conducted the salary cap, and that's why they were competitive for 20 years. Like, he's still going on with this myth. Like, the way we managed the cap, and we were able to do this, and we didn't do dummy years, and, you know, we weren't doing all these cap gymnastics because we didn't want to run into trouble down the road, and we didn't want to all of a sudden, you know, have to pay the piper and make hard decisions.
Got it.
So we made hard decisions in advance.
He's like taking notes.
Is what he leaves out. He's like, oh, we had to trade really good players and give up on really good players so that we didn't have to make a hard decision down the road giving up on some of these players. And he went on to even cite the Saints at one point. He's like, you know, you can't really create space, or you can. The Saints are doing it right now. And I was like, okay, the Saints are creating cap space. So he's still stuck on this thing that, like, the way he managed the cap and they managed the cap, that was why they were competitive for 20 years. And then the audacity to cite the Chiefs as a team that's making all these moves. It's like Bill looks at it and doesn't even realize what he's looking at. Bill, you had the greatest player of all time, and you could make moves like that because you had the greatest player of all time and the best player since Brady, and maybe the second best player of all time, maybe eventually the greatest player of all time. Patrick Mahomes is now on the Chiefs, so they can make all these moves. It has nothing to do with how you handle the salary cap, and he still doesn't get that.
Have you looked at how guaranteed the contracts are?
I haven't.
What can you really say here?
Okay. So, like, to me, I find that amusing. Who do you think is more out of touch, Brady or Bill?
Bill.
Bill.
Absolutely.
On that take, not in general, just on that take.
I'd say in general, too. Yeah. If I compare those two takes, I think there's probably, like, some truth to both of them. I just think that Bill's... the comparison where he loses it completely is the comparison to Kansas City. Because even if both things are completely true, that they're running something extremely similar to how the Patriots ran it, it's all beside the point is what it is. So it sounds a little out of touch.
Day by day.
I think, I'd probably say Bill, too. I think Brady does seem out of touch with this, but at least he's a little more, I don't know, a little closer to it. Like, Bill in the last, you know, couple years has really sort of been exposed. Brady never was, so I sort of feel like he has a little more credibility.
Yeah, I just, again, like, Bill can look at the Chiefs and go, the reason they win all these Super Bowls is the way they handle the cap. Like, that's still how Bill thinks about it. He's like, yeah, they could move on from Tyreek Hill, and they're moving on from L'Jarius Sneed. And that's why they're able to do it. They draft some young players, and they come in, and they develop, and that's how they're able to do it and keep the train on the tracks. Nothing to do with Mahomes. Like, Mahomes is a footnote for Bill.
Just content. Like,
Brady was a footnote for Bill. He still doesn't get it. 617-779-7937. We'll continue here with all your feedback. Arcan with the latest in trending. And when we come back, we have Meg explaining what's coming up there, Mego.
We're going to address something that Jacoby Brissett told us about himself, a personal note. We're going to talk about how it relates to perhaps him as a quarterback and how you go about your business day to day.
Okay. That's
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's right after trending. Stay tuned. And if that happens, I think week one's still in play. Until they do it, I won't go there, but the fact they're starting to mix it in, I wonder if they're ramping up for that in the final week of the preseason. Just closing the loop on our guy Landers there, the guy the Patriots has claimed on Twitter, Reese is saying that they are keeping their number three waiver spot. He says they're going to stay third in waiver priority regardless, so they haven't burned their very important, necessary waiver claim on Matt Landers. We'll see who they burn it on.
Okay.
That'll reset. I'm sure it'll be a nice Judon replacement or
good. This means we'll have a lead for tomorrow.
Yes. Somebody for, Calvin Ridley or Brandon Ayuk. That sort of replacement.
Okay.
I'm sure
who's
they'll
the
be
lineman?
Able to do that.
Dennis, what's his name? Dennis
Daly.
Dennis Daly?
Yes.
Yes. The Dennis Daly.
I just saw a Chris Price report. They're one of many teams that's been linked to him.
Everybody's in on Daly.
So there you go. Do you think it's still in play?
So hot right now.
Mego, if they change what you're asking for, I know you don't think they're going to do it, but if they show up at practice tomorrow and there's a whole new offensive line, or Drake May's working behind the top offensive line, will that signal to you that week one's in play?
Yeah, it'll signal to me that they're trying to ramp him up in a real way. I just don't buy that much into him getting to take snaps behind a line that has David Andrews and then a bunch of twos. David Andrews and what was the exact lineup? I don't know if it matters to people or not, but basically plugging in one or two guys who you know are bona fide starters, like a David Andrews, and then the rest just this mix and matching. I know Jerod Mayo gets up there and he says anybody could be the starting quarterback in week one and it's a competition and they've been calling it a competition for weeks. I just feel that what they've been showing you is that they have a plan that they're comfortable with Jacoby Brissett being there in week one and Drake May developing slowly and not putting the pressure on him and having the ghost of Mac Jones hanging over all of it, and that they don't want to deviate from that.
So why do you think they're starting to mess around with the different line combinations, though, with Drake May specifically? I don't think that's random.
No, maybe it's somebody, you go to somebody like David Andrews in particular, who's one of your most trusted players and most experienced veterans, and you throw him in there, and then you go to David Andrews and say, we see what we see from the outside. What's it like playing with him? What's the chemistry there like? What do you feel like his timing is like? Does he seem comfortable? Does he seem confident? Or is he actually still just one or two bad steps away from tripping over himself?
Okay.
How do you feel?
Maybe it's that. I just think if they have him working with Andrews, and they've done that in some practices, they had him yesterday, and I'll give you the exact top lineman he was working with. He was working with Okorafor and So, who are thought of as starters on this team. That's not the full offensive line, but they're thought of as starters on this team. So I don't think they're doing that just by accident. They've done it with Andrews before. They've started to experiment with a few different linemen with May. I think it's because they're putting more and more on his plate. They put more on his plate in week two of the preseason than they did in week one. I think they're seeing what he's capable of, and they're giving him little bites here and little bites there. And if he passes and he continues to look better than Jacoby Brissett, I think they're going to continue to do that. And so I don't get why they were so measured in it and why they're doing it so late, but that's why or what I think they're doing.
I'd be more inclined to agree with you if they were also moving wide receivers around, because it seems like the main one wide receivers are still with Brissett. And it also seems like the offensive line is still not completely settled yet. I know that Okorafor is so far been a starter, but I don't know that for sure that he's got that lie. He's been terrible in camp. He's been one of their worst performing tackles so far. So City So has been pretty good, I think, from reports. I haven't seen it or anything, but it seems like he's been good. Andrews, obviously, is a guy that they know they have there, and Onwenu is too. But those other two, and obviously left tackle is who the hell knows, but like as far as the other two go, at left guard and right tackle, it could be they're still tweaking who the starters on that line are going to be. I'm not sure that's settled yet.
Okay. Look, I want to see it. I want to see if they change it at all this week. And I want to see if they change it, especially in the final preseason game. Jerod Mayo came out and said, yeah, we're going to play everybody who's healthy, which implies Brissett's playing in that game. Drake May's playing in that game. Who knows after those guys. And so I'm curious how it looks. And if he has reps with those guys, there is time leading into the regular season to change that around and put more on his plate and get him ready to start week one, which to me remains the best case scenario for Drake May this year. I don't know how realistic it is that he's going to start week one, but that I think would be the best case scenario for him. Get him out there working through it as opposed to learning on the VR headset like Mayo was talking about yesterday with the Greg Hill show. Well, it's stupid. The best outcome for Drake May this year starts week one. 24% agree with Arcand and I. 57% agree with Mego starting mid-season. About 20% still want a redshirt year, which those people, that's baffling that those people just, you draft Drake May and they don't even want to see him this year. No interest in watching him this year. Just Jacoby Brissett.
Maybe it's possible those are people who just absolutely hate Drake May and they want Joe Milton to play.
Oh. Or maybe
they're thinking outside of the box like Arcand does.
Maybe they're, maybe their best case scenario is Jacoby Brissett starts the whole year. They like Jacoby Brissett. It's that too.
Perhaps.
I hadn't accounted for that.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, fair point. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We've discussed quite a bit today. The Red Sox falling off in August again. We talked about that with Alex Cora. It's up now on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. Seek those out. We also talked about Jeff Bezos, maybe or maybe not interested in buying the Celtics. How we feel about that versus someone like Steve Pagliuca buying the C's from Wick/Irv Grosbeck. And we talked a lot of Patriots today on the show. In the meantime, let's get to Meg's planning with Megan Onalini.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you,
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
You guys are both very intelligent and informed people.
No one has ever said that.
You went to school for a while. A lot of higher education.
Some, yeah. Northeastern's a 5-year school, so yeah. Brady would love my college approach. 5 years, lots of learning in college, yes.
Tell me if you've heard of these phrases before. Have you ever heard of pareuresis? Pareuresis.
Not the way you're pronouncing it. No, I'm not sure.
Have you heard of it differently?
I don't think so, but I actually don't even know what you're trying to say.
Pareuresis.
Yeah.
Have you heard of parkopresis?
Definitely not.
So pareuresis is the official term for a shy bladder.
Ah.
Parkopresis is the term for a shy bowel.
And I'm sorry, what?
A shy bowel.
No. What's it called again?
Parkopresis.
Okay. Parkopresis, can't poop in front of others.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's way harder for me to say. Pareuresis is the term for you're scared to pee in front of someone. I mean, not like in front of someone, but probably like next to someone in a public bathroom. But anyways, both of these terms,
Chairless does not suffer.
No. Guys are chairless. Yeah. is not an issue for
the
that.
The opposite
man
of that, I
whatsoever,
think.
Yes.
So it's believed that anywhere between 6.5% to 32% of people suffer from at least one of these conditions, and they're grouped together under loose terms called toilet anxiety or toilet phobia. And let me tell you something.
Hang on. Give me the range again.
6.5% to 32% of people.
This is like mega voting.
One in three people are afraid to go in a public bathroom.
Yeah, or it's 1 out of 20. That's a giant range. So this is like mega voting for Drake May to start midseason. Like that's a lot. That's a big area there.
Well, because people
6 or 32%.
I guess people often don't want to talk about it. This article I found says, unfortunately, there isn't much official data about toilet anxiety or the fear of using public restrooms because it's one of the least talked about conditions. Well, let me tell you something. If you want to know anything about Jacoby Brissett, it's that he's not afraid to talk about this. He will talk publicly about whether he has periuresis or parkopresis.
Sure.
He didn't get extremely specific, but here's the interview that we had with who appears to be the starting quarterback yesterday.
I committed to this when I first started using a restroom, when I was potty trained, because I don't think I can remember the last time I was potty in a public restroom that I had to use it. And I mean, a public restroom is anything outside of my house or somebody that I'm really comfortable with, like at their house, which is very rare, which is probably, one of my best friends whose house that I used to kind of like live at. But other than that, it's probably, I'll just wait to go at a hotel or when I get home.
All right, that's good. So do you know anybody like this personally?
Who won't use a public restroom or who has periuresis?
Well, I don't know if they would identify that way, but they are absolutely not about public restrooms. I mean, like, nobody's like, ooh, I get to use a public restroom.
I have a friend who's like a germaphobe. Yeah. He's like that, yeah.
I know people who claim it, but are they diagnosed or you know, clinically they have periuresis? I doubt it. No, they probably just say they don't
like
using public restrooms.
I'm not a psychologist. I can't diagnose him, but it sounds like he's very specific. He says a hotel's okay. When I lived at my friend's house is okay. But anything other than that, I thought maybe he was saying, I don't like using the locker room bathroom because it's gross, which I would get. But it sounds like it's way broader than
that. They're there all day. What do you mean you don't use the locker room? That's insane.
Maybe he pees in the shower.
Do you think he gets to
it's
go
all
use?
Pipes!
That, he definitely wouldn't do that.
Why not?
That's way more public restroom than anything.
Yeah, but you know. It's all pipe. You're there. I mean, it's already getting cleaned. If you have like a germ problem, peeing in the shower is probably the best way to deal with it because, you know, all the soap washes are right out.
So
what? It does.
I have friends
who... Is that your recent porn video you watched?
Oh, God.
Maybe.
I have friends who, when they travel still with their husbands, they'll go down and use the lobby bathroom because they don't want to use the hotel bathroom if they're going number two.
You also have friends who poop in buckets. So, it's a wide range.
It's a wide range. Yeah. It's between 6.5% and 32%.
Yeah.
So I should have asked him what he thinks of my friend and where if he would be okay with that shed setup with the Home Depot bucket.
Any qualms about public restrooms?
Me?
Yes.
Yes, and I've actually made a list of the worst public restrooms. These are categories.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, and before I say that, I'd say, like, I'm not... you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, so public restroom, there's different levels to this, and restroom is usually fine. I think that's kind of like the middle ground,
Depends
right?
on the restaurant, but yeah.
Like, some restaurant bathrooms, and we've had this conversation before, some of them are beautiful, and they're nicely scented, and they're, like, nicer than your bathroom at home, and some of them are nightmares.
Some of them, the pee hits the urinal, and, like, a bunch of fruit flies fly up. You know, that's a classy joint. You know, it's like,
But I can't imagine rearranging my day around. I'd rather use the bathroom at home, so I'm going to rearrange all
of
this stuff.
Let me tell you, for instance, I just took a flight back from Charlotte yesterday. I don't want to wake up the gentleman to my right who's snoring, or, you know, not actually snoring, but he's asleep. I want to wake him up, but I'm like, I got to pee. And, like, I'm sitting thinking about this for a while, and finally they come by, they get the garbage, they wake the guy up. I go, hey, while you're awake, let me sneak out here, right? But, like, I can't imagine going through my whole life being like, I'm holding this and I don't want to hold this because I don't want to go to that bathroom or I don't want to wake this person up. Like, that sounds like a nightmare.
Doesn't that have health side effects?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
That can't be good for...
No.
It's bad for your kidneys, I think.
Downstairs plumbing.
Much. Bad for By the way, that first the first one when you get off the plane and you've been holding it during the flight, that's one of the
I heard you
ones.
Say that to Jacoby Brissett in the interview yesterday.
It really, I mean, I'm surprised. Like, that's one of those ones where you get a real appreciation just
why are
you
holding it on the plane? Are you afraid to go on a plane?
No, not necessarily, but if there's, like, a line or, you know, you got the seatbelt sign on or something like that, sometimes the timing just doesn't work out. I also sleep on the plane. Like, I'm out for, like, the entire flight, so I wake up, I gotta go, you know? And it's right there when you walk off the plane. It's perfect. Oh, and it just is great.
All right, we've hijacked this. Mega, what's your list?
No, that's fine. I'm so jealous of people who get on planes and they just, like, get knocked out. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just out. Yeah. For me, it's like a whole, it's basically like
before
by the
they
time,
even start the announcements, they don't even pull out the fake seatbelt and I'm asleep.
That's like a real talent.
Yeah.
If I'm on a red eye, by the time I fall asleep, we've basically started landing and it's just a lost night. So you talk about airplanes. My fifth worst public bathroom is an airplane bathroom. It's such a stunt.
Well, they're
to
not
do.
They're not comfortable. Everybody's watching you.
Exactly. You stand up. You if you're in the window seat, you gotta go by everybody. And maybe if it's a red eye flight or something, you're walking down the aisle. You might be waking people up. If somebody's in there, you have to wait and stand in the aisle, and the flight attendants are trying to get around you. It's just nothing about it is comfortable. It's always last resort.
I hate the flush on the airplane bathrooms.
Oh, I like
that. So it's like a grenade going off. You know, it's like, all right, you know, we got it. You're flush in the toilet.
I don't like there's a little bit of delay. Usually there's a little bit of a delay where you're like, do I have to hit it again? And then it's like,
it scares me. It sounds like the engine.
We're gonna get sucked into it.
Well, and if you have to do anything questionable, you can't be doing that in an airplane bathroom.
Well, you don't want to be.
You can't be.
What do you mean questionable?
Number two? Yeah, you can't be doing anything that's going to like stink up the whole airplane. You can't be doing that.
Never have. We had a rule on our team bus in college that you couldn't do that.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. You do that, the whole plane smells it. Now you're the guy who pooped in the bathroom. You can't be doing that.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no qualms about the germs. I don't like the judgment of being the pooped in the bathroom guy. That's what I don't
Where do you stand on peeing on other passengers? Where's that?
Guys are churlish?
Yes.
I've never tried it, so I can't weigh in.
Okay. Fourth worst, beach bathrooms. When you're at a beach and you go to the public bathroom at the
Everything's
beach,
wet.
There's like weird stuff on the ground where you're like, is that sand? Is that dirt? Yep. What is that? I don't like it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you're wearing open-toed sandals because you're at the beach. So then you're like, stepping around stuff. There's always like wet
I've gone into those things
everywhere.
Barefoot. Yeah.
And you're you're like, is that puddle from the showers next door or is it from the toilet?
I'd rather just walk straight into the ocean and do my business.
Can't overthink it, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't
Although
judge
I don't
you
like
it
in the ocean. I don't like doing that in the ocean.
Yeah, because you're scared something's going to swim
scared
up.
Something's going to swim in
that
there.
That doesn't happen in salt water.
It doesn't matter. I'm
makes
scared
no sense.
It's going to happen.
It only happens in fresh water.
Makes no sense. You're also forcing something out.
So don't do it at the lake.
Yeah.
Don't do it at the lake.
Yeah, you're forcing it out, but then at the very end, you know, there's like that vortex. Something goes back in. I'm not going to risk it.
Okay.
Okay, so you'll go barefoot
I'll be sloshing around in other people's
now,
feet.
Now, these next three.
That's what you're doing in the ocean anyway.
These next three, I mean, you could, I think, really move these around depending on your own personal experiences.
Sure.
Third worst, concert porta potty.
Yeah, any porta potty.
Porta potty's not great, I agree.
But especially at a concert, something about that atmosphere, if you've ever been at like an all-day festival or something, it is a real nightmare zone.
Yeah, it's not great.
It is horrible.
Construction site porta potty is a tough one.
I don't love a porta potty, but like I'll use that all day. I have no problem using a porta potty.
Sometimes you'll be at a function that's like the porta potties are okay.
Uh-huh.
Like it's fine. You're in and out. Concert once. I've never been one there where it's like
long line. People are drunk and or you know high. They're all whacked out of their mind.
Things happening.
It's gross in there.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like Arkan, you saw the scene in the Great Woods. What was going on?
Well, so
what was going on at Great Woods?
At Great Woods, there's a fence there now, but it used to just be trees, and you could go pee in there. And I went to go pee in there, and there were two people making love right next to me, and I almost peed on them.
They weren't making love.
You could have been.
It was. It was a beautiful thing.
That wasn't making love. I can tell you that right now.
It would have been if I had.
It's like it was me. I can tell you.
And they were like, "Hey, come back."
Second worst, and again, this is very subjective, but in my experience, dive bar bathrooms. Dive bar bathrooms are worse than all of those other bathrooms so far.
Okay.
I have been in a dive bar bathroom or approached one on St. Patrick's Day in Boston.
Yeah, you know what?
Where the entire floor was flooded, like an inch
That's
and a half
special
of water.
Day, but yeah.
And I was like, or water and other things.
Yeah, you're
and
like,
I
what
was
is
like,
that water?
You know what? I just need to go home. This is one instance in which the public bathroom will dictate the rest of my day. I'm done. I've seen enough.
What's the worst one?
The very worst one, train station bathroom. You never want to go to the bathroom in a train station. It
train
doesn't matter
station.
If you're
I thought you were
going to
say
station,
the one at the Boston Public Library.
If you're at
that
the,
one's tough.
That one?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been in there.
Don't go.
I would think that, wait, the one in Copley Square?
Yes, the Boston Public Library.
Well, there's many Boston Public Libraries.
The main Boston, yes, that one, Boston the big library. Yes. Don't, okay. Do not use that bathroom.
That would be like classy.
It is not.
It's definitely not.
It's a lot of people like shaving there.
Yeah, correct. A lot of people using a public bathroom for a lot of things besides just going to the bathroom.
A lot of needles in there. Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. That's another layer to it. Train bathrooms, in my experience, doesn't matter if it's subway, doesn't matter if it's Amtrak, doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, it is just a nightmare zone. Never want to go near it. Never,
the
ever again.
Subway, like if you're taking a long train, train ride.
No. I'm not talking about on the train. I'm talking about in the station.
I'm saying if you're taking like a long train ride, I just got off a 6-hour train. I got to use the train station. But if you're just hopping on the T, how often do you need to use the bathroom in the T?
How about if it's your friend's 21st birthday and you're really drunk and you got to pee?
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever.
You're
used
not going to make it to the bar because the bar's got a line outside.
I don't know that I've ever used a T bathroom.
I have.
I don't know that I have.
What Forest Hills. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was not good. It's better than the elevator. There's more pee in the elevator than there was in the bathroom.
When Kat first moved to Boston, she's like, I don't want to walk up all these stairs. I'm going to take the elevator. I'm don't do that.
Arkansas Light opens it.
It's a pee factory in there.
It's the people from Greatwood.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Fancy meeting you here again.
A train station bathroom. Specifically a train. How do you feel about airport bathrooms?
Oh, way more normal.
Airport bathroom's great. I love a nice bathroom. Yeah.
Depending on the airport.
Not the airplane. The airport? Great.
No, there's a big drop-off between the airport bathroom and the train station bathroom.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's a cliff.
This is one of the classier Meg-splainings we've ever had, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. All different types of bathroom talk. Like, it really, we covered everything.
Where does a shed rank?
It's
with a bucket and a bag.
It still sounds to me like Jacoby Brissett. I don't quite trust that he's talking about actual public restrooms.
I think he is.
I don't think so.
Pretty specific. I also have to say, if you're visiting my Instagram, anytime I post a picture with one of my friends, please stop asking if it's the bucket friend. Because it's not, and they're getting seriously offended.
Well, but it could be.
My friends are asking me not to post pictures of them anymore.
But it could be.
Because they don't want to be bucket girl.
But you're telling me you've never posted a picture of the bucket girl?
Oh, she's in there somewhere.
Yeah, right. So
you guys met her at the wedding.
Yeah, so don't say it. She's not in there. She could be in there.
I did meet her.
Didn't shake her hand. But we did meet, yes.
I don't think I made it that far to meeting her. So there we go. That's Megsplaining each and every day at this time here on Jones and Mego with Arkan. When we come back, let's make some picks for tonight in Bet Roulette. Stay tuned. That's what I've been hoping for. And the fact that it's been mixing in a little bit more at training camp or some of these practices, I think leaves the door open. But again, that's what I want to see. And I will tell you, if Drake May starts week one, I'm going to start to wonder if people like Bedard and the other beat reporters down there know what they're looking at. Because I've heard over and over and over again, it's not close, it's not a competition, all this. And if he starts week one, I'm going to start to wonder. But we also were discussing the public restrooms after Jacoby Brissett, who may or may not be the Patriots week one starter. By the way, another strike against him that he won't use a public restroom. But we use that as a jumping off point for Mego's list of the worst public bathrooms. Should we take Mason in the car?
Let's give it a try.
Let's do it. Mason in the car. Go ahead, Mason. Hello.
What's up, guys? I'll try to be as quick as possible. Yeah, I got a pee story that unfortunately will be scarred in my brain for eternity. I think it was Ozfest 2010 at Xfinity Center. It may have been like the last one. So we're like an hour six or seven of this. It's night at this point. Everyone's drunk all around me. I'm in the line. The line is packed. I'm finally next to go in here. And if you remember those bathrooms, the sink was like, you know, kind of a trough area.
Yeah.
So you might know where I'm going. So, you know, you put your hands in the middle and you wash your hands. So I'm next. All the urinals are taken. Some drunken guy just stupors right on past me. He goes towards the middle area. And I'm like, there's no way.
Right in the trough?
And yes. Yeah, so he goes around and faces the line.
Yeah.
No fear.
It's an alpha move.
Unzips, and I'm in shock because I'm like, there's no way he's going to do this. He takes out his member. I see it. He makes eye contact with me.
Oh, wow.
And points and says, hey, quit looking at my D mother effer.
How about that?
Great.
I mean, was this like a person or a silverback gorilla?
I thought the story was going to land at the end with, and it was Arkan. That's where I thought it was going. I thought that's what we were on track for.
I didn't go to that Ozfest,
and that man was Christian Arkan.
It's like a long, now you know the rest of the story.
It's a real alpha move, though. Go in there, you pee in the trough, you stare everybody down.
The sink was Elvis Presley.
And now you know the rest of the story.
I still have nightmares about the Fenway Petroff. When did they rip that thing out of there?
Oh, in the 90s, probably.
I mean,
right?
I was going to say, I was young. Like,
it's
in
Arcan's basement now. It's memorabilia.
That was tough when you were a kid and you walked in there because you're like, eye level with everybody. Yeah, right.
My dad's like, just go in there. I'm like, right there? Yeah, there are people in here.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how old I was. That was tough. Never mind this individual. Okay, good story there from Mason.
Was a good story.
In the car. Let's get to some picks for tonight in Bet Roulette.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both. You don't f*** around in this place. You got it?
Boo! Boo! That's it! Gambling!
Bet Roulette, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today, and your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. I've been out a bunch the last few weeks. I feel like I haven't made a bunch of these picks, these predictions. So I don't know how we've been faring lately. Did you guys make picks yesterday?
I ruined last night's parlay.
Oh,
so I thought the Sox would win on the money line, but these two got the strikeouts right on Seth Lugo and Tanner Houck.
Tough. Arcand, I heard, had a little action on the side on the Red Sox money line last
sure
night.
Sure did.
That didn't go
sure
so
did.
Well.
Oh. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Guys should learn from that. All right, Mego, why don't you start?
Okay.
Roll for us.
I rolled a one.
A one. All right. Red Sox and Astros. Nick Pivetta, Ronel Blanco. Pick them. What do you think, Mego?
I'm going to have to go with the Astros. I'm sorry to say. I just think that we're nearing the end for the Red Sox. And they got swept by the Astros last time around.
I think
that they'll be lucky to get one game out of this series, and I don't feel it's tonight with Nick Pivetta out there.
All right. Jones's role, thank you very much. Jones's role is a four, mm-hmm. and that is the Yankees and the Guardians, Matthew Boyd and Luis Gil. Another pick'em. What do you say, Jones?
Give me the Yankees. Luis Gil, I don't know how much he's tailed off of late. I know he's had a very good season on balance. I don't know if he's come back to earth a little bit. Guardians have been good all year long. I'm not a believer in their team. I haven't been a believer in them. I look at their talent. I don't love it. I feel like they've played over their heads, although I felt like that about most of the AL Central this year, and they're all still ahead of the Red Sox, and they have been basically all year long. But give me the Yankees head-to-head against the Guardians. I'll go with Gil.
All right, very good. I just rolled a five, and that is the Mets and the Orioles at Citi Field. Dylan Kramer and Jose Quintana. The Mets are still alive in that wild card race. I think they have more to play for here. And the Orioles, I didn't think, looked great in that Red Sox series. So give me the Mets. Give me the Mets on the money line at home against Baltimore. Okay.
So we have our picks. Mego's got the Astros. I have the Yankees. Arcan has the Mets. Those are all pick'ems?
Yes.
Okay, all pick'ems. One, two, three. Can we tally those up? Anybody tallying those?
You tally that together, and it's a plus 452.
Okay, that's something. It's not our...
Modest.
Not our greatest number, but it's a little something there. For Bet Roulette, I feel like it's the first time I've done that in some time. And I'm picking for Joe Braverman here today, so hopefully...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.